Welcome to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner. Carrie believes if you want to experience clarity in business and in life, then discovering who you are, why you're here, and where you're going is a must. The Igniting Souls podcast is dedicated to help you do just this. And now, here's Carrie.
Hey folks, it's Carrie Oberbrunner today, and I have my very special guest on a huge day, Don Wenner. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing awesome. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, listen, man, this book, first of all, when it arrived, it's absolutely beautiful. It's a combo between a book and a journal. And folks, listen, you should pay attention today if you are concerned about scaling a high growth, high profit business. So in the notes, folks, we're going to be giving away some prizes today. I want everybody to share where they're from in the comments. We'll be bringing you up here in a moment, everybody. But Don, first of all, tell us a little bit about the book, because I know you've been working on this for a long time.
Yeah, love to. So I've been working on the content, I guess, behind the book for a better part of a decade now. So the book, as everybody just saw, is called Building an Elite Organization. And the subtitle is the Blueprint to Scaling a High Growth, High Profit Business. And if you're watching this podcast, you're probably like I am, and you're an avid listener, a reader and learner. And what I learned is, you know, I'm somebody who reads, you know, 2, 3, 4 books a week, have for many, many years, and always looking to learn and consume new information. And and as you listen to the greats out there, you know, you read one great business book and it tells you all you need to scale a great company is leadership, or all you need is, you know, execution, or all you need is, you know, to learn content marketing, or all you need is more leads, or, you know, there's all these great thought leaders and all these great books and ideas out there that are all have their place and all lots of phenomenal information out there. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, to scale a high growth, high profit business, scale a great company and do so profitably, unfortunately doesn't have just one thing that you can focus in on. You have to have an overall business plan that incorporates all the aspects of scaling a business, and that all has to be done a part of the same plan in cohesion in order to do so profitably. So what we think about it is there's 4 quadrants to a business. There are strategy, people, operations, and acceleration. And acceleration is sales and marketing together. And you need a plan and each of those pieces growing together to do so and do so profitably. And I'm proud to say, you know, having implemented this operating system, as we call it, which is called the Elite Execution System, which is what the book is all about. You know, we've been able to grow DLP and our 10 companies by over 60% a year now, every year for 15 years. And we've helped many other real estate operators and nonprofits as well that we support implement the Elite Execution System into their business and have similar levels of consistent and profitable growth.
Gee, I love it. So for the people, and we got people here from Pennsylvania, and we even have Montreal in the house, more and more people are jumping in. I want to encourage everybody, listen, you're going to want this, and we're going to be giving away a copy of the journal and the book. By the way, amazing. I love the whole branding of all of it, but truly, truly incredible. The journal, I was going through it before. It looks absolutely beautiful. How do these two complement each other, the book and the journal? Maybe you can talk about that.
Absolutely. So, you know, building an elite organization is a book on our elite execution system, you know, the system to scale a high growth, high profit business. And a business is a collection, a team of individuals, right? And to grow a business that grows in productivity, that grows in size and profitability, it requires a lot of focus and discipline. And we like to think about it as to grow a great company, you need disciplined thought, disciplined action, and disciplined people. Right. And that concept comes right from the great Jim Collins. And that concept of discipline throughout your organization, your thoughts, your action, and your people is a really key component of our elite execution system, the fundamental concept of the 20-mile march, the consistent, disciplined activity day in and day out, not just the beginning of the month, not just the end of the month, not just the beginning of the year, not just when you feel like it, not just when the weather is good, but day in and day out throughout your entire organization, every person in the company having that level of discipline has been really, really critical for us, and is really critical to scaling a high growth business. And what the Elite Journal does is it provides a simple tool to help people grow in their productivity, to maximize their day-to-day. Everybody today, I mean, day in and day out, I think it gets harder and harder for people people like to say, to manage their time. You know, everybody's struggling with too many priorities, too many things to do, and feel like they don't have enough time to do it. I call it, you know, priority management, because you can't manage time. We all have the same amount of time, but your priority management. And we teach here at DLP, and in the book, we teach in a whole chapter on a concept of living fully, which is a concept of helping. It's one of our core values, but getting every person in our company, we want them to live fully and excel in all areas of life. And we call it the 8 F's of life, which are faith, family, friends, fitness, fun, fulfillment, freedom, and finance. And what the Self Journal does, or the DLP Elite Self Journal does, is it helps people to increase their level of productivity, not just at work, but in all aspects of life. And so, you know, the author, the foreword for my book was written by Hal Elrod, the famous author of Miracle Morning. And so he teaches, you know, the whole concept of savers, of maximizing that morning routine. And that works really well, that concept of getting up morning and starting, as I like to do, you know, of journaling, of prayer, reading the Bible, working out, meditation. You know, I go through all these areas of in just a little under an hour every morning. And in the journal, as you know, Carrie was showing, and I have mine right here, you know, I use it every day. We've been using it internally for quite some time. And I get to go in and lay out my big long-term goals for the organization, for myself personally, for the organization, lay out my vision board, lay out my goals for the quarter. This is a quarterly journal. And then what I'm going to accomplish this week, and then put that into daily action. Start off my day with attitude of gratitude, lay out what my big three goals are, what are my top priorities for the day, kind of eat the frog. What am I going to accomplish today? Lay out my schedule, recognize my wins, recognize successes, recognize lessons I learned. And just the simple habit of doing this every day not only helps you to be more productive, but maybe equally as important, as it helps you to feel more productive.
Oh, that's good.
Get that overall feeling of fulfillment, right? Fulfillment comes from feeling you're making progress in the areas of your life that are important to you. And by just taking a few minutes to connect, and for me, what's really important, you know, a few minutes connecting with the Lord in the morning, a few minutes of connecting my goals with my actions of the day, you know, a few moments of being grateful for all the great blessings that I have, those little areas, seeing the progress I make day in and day out, and just moving the ball a little bit further, gives me a great feeling of fulfillment. And I feel I can move forward and succeed in all 8 of these areas of life, these 8 F's, as we call it, all at the same time. And to me, that's where real success comes from. If you're crushing it in business, but you're out of shape and your marriage is on the rocks, or your children want nothing to do with you, or, you know, et cetera, that's not real success. And just a simple tool like an Elite Journal can help you, you know, succeed in all those areas as you go down the path of implementing the Elite Execution System. If you so choose, it can get easy to get caught up in the excitement of scaling your business and the success you'll have, and kind of let the other areas of life fall off a track. And, you know, keeping a simple tool like the Elite Journal, and then having every person in your company. So I have 400 plus full-time employees. They all use the Elite Journal, or almost all of them do. We provide them to everybody, and it helps everybody from our frontline, you know, landscaper or groundskeeper or maintenance technician or receptionist get as much value out of it as you know, our senior executives do.
Amazing. Amazing. Listen, the crowd is loving this. There's more and more people joining, lots of people from Florida. I can tell that you believe this. I mean, look, number one, you're a bestseller. So that came out very recently. You got the paperback, you got the hardcover, you got the Kindle right now. So you have all kinds of success going on with it. It's really resonating with people. Your reviews are blowing up. You know, organizational change. Look at that. That's a great category. And Don, I can tell this isn't just made up because, listen, I interview a lot of people and a lot of people don't even know their own stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm interviewing them and they're like, well, I don't really, let me go back. I mean, this is flowing out of you. You've integrated this thing. I got to ask, how old are you?
36. So I've been doing this. This year 15. So I started while I was in college, and it's been a fun, you know, decade and a half journey thus far.
Folks, he's 36. I'm a lot older than that. he's you're humble about it, but your company's doing incredible things. And I love the fact that you're not just crushing it financially, but your company is about giving back. You know, I've done research before we decided to work together. I kind of looked and said, who is Don? Who's the company? What's the book about? Talk a little bit about how you put your faith into action, how you truly believe in a holistic business and not just money, money, money.
Yeah, love to. And so we've identified here. So let me take a quick step back. So we have a foundation we started a few years ago called the DLP Positive Returns Foundation. And our giving policy as an organization is to give 1% of every employee has the ability to give 1% of the time to anything that pulls at their heart, whether it's a priority for me or the organization. They can go and give paid time to whatever cause, whatever ministry, whatever service that they want. We give 0.25% of our revenue, and we give 0.25% of all the capital we raise. And as we are scaling, following the lead execution system, these start becoming really, really significant and meaningful dollars. This year will be around $1 million of giving. So we've gone on that path, and we've been focusing on for a while now two really big crises here in America, and there are crises certainly around the world, but we're making the biggest impact here in the U.S., which are I guess say North America as a whole, but the workforce housing crisis and the fact that most Americans can't afford to live where they work. There is a tremendous lack of housing that's affordable for the local workforce all over the country and the world. And so we're focused on is investing in housing that's affordable for the local workforce and will remain affordable. So these are the local nurses and teachers and social workers and those working really hard but struggling to find a safe and affordable place to live. Mm. To give you a perspective, in the last decade, the average cost of rent in America has gone from $750 a month to $1,200 a month, 60% increase in 10 years, while incomes have only grown 4 to 6%. That's a problem, and a problem that is getting worse every day. So we focused on that in terms of our foundation, and also we give 100% of all the proceeds of the book. Everything goes to the foundation. There's no profit, and there's also no expenses of that we charge to it. It's all proceeds go to the foundation, but. And then the second focus we have is on the jobs crisis. Mm. Depending on what stats you look at, somewhere between 30 to 50% of all American jobs are at jeopardy of automation in the next 20 years alone.
Mm.
And so a tremendous amount of jobs in America today are going to be replaced due to technology and automation. And I believe despite what the U.S. government and many others like to tell you, the government can't create jobs. The only way you really create significant jobs is through small businesses. And that's why we wrote the book first and foremost, is to help small businesses scale, because it is so hard to scale a business and do it profitably, be able to employ more people, be able to make a bigger impact, and then spur local and in some of our cases, national, even global economies. And So those have been two tremendous focus for the foundation, but we've kind of, self-evaluated over the past couple of years and realized that's great. And giving away, say, $1 million this year is a good amount of money. And then it'll be, in a few years, it'll be a few million a year and so forth. It's really powerful, but we've realized that at running now today, a $1 billion plus organization, our for-profit business, DLP, doing hundreds of millions of dollars a year of revenue, and growing, you know, dramatically again, year over year, we've grown 60% plus a year, that we can make a much bigger impact on some really big challenges here in the US and around the world through our for-profit businesses. And so we focused in on every investment we make, which we predominantly invest in housing. So we invest in owning and lending, managing, developing workforce affordable housing. Mm-hmm. And so we've been focusing in our business of scaling that. And then we've been teaching the Elite Execution System to lots of top real estate operators around the country, helping them scale to provide workforce housing. And what we've decided is that we've actually expanded the areas that we want to make an impact on. Workforce housing, as I talked about, the jobs crisis. And then we set two other big challenges that we're working to make a significant impact on. The third is on the generational wealth crisis, which is that many people such as yourself, Carrie, myself, many listening here who are building businesses or earning good income, focusing on building their wealth and their family, the majority of us, unfortunately, will have our wealth lost by the second or at worst third generation. We'll lose all the wealth, everything we worked for over our lives. And a lot of that can be avoided through better planning, better understanding, and evaluation of how you want to live and leave a legacy. And so we're really focused on making an impact there. And then the fourth area, which has been growing at my heart more and more since COVID, has been the happiness crisis. And this ties very much into the book and the Elite Execution System as a whole, which is every one of us at our core, humans, our number one human desire at our core is the feeling of importance. And right or wrong, you know, most people historically for generations now have received a significant amount of their importance derived from their work.
Yes.
And it's a place that many people, you know, gain their identity and their importance and their significance. And unfortunately, over the past decade, and then even it's amplified tremendously more since COVID, less and less people are gaining that importance and that connection with their work anymore. More and more people are struggling with feelings of insignificance, inadequacy. Social media has certainly dramatically, you know, grown these feelings.
Yes.
Over 40% of Americans today are struggling with some form of mental illness, the number one being depression. And I believe that it, as a business owner or business leader, it's our job to create a great company, to create a clear mission and purpose and direction, to help every person in the organization to understand the importance of their work and feel and garner importance from what they do every day and feel that they're part of something bigger than themselves. And I feel it's our job to help our team members learn how to live fully and how to take those lessons and personal development to their home life and have a full work life and life of work-life integration where they're bringing the importance of an identity they're gaining from the impact they make in their day-to-day job, you know, to their home life, their faith life, et cetera. So those are the areas we're really focused on making impact in the book and the journal and things that we have, you know, coming on here after this are really our focus on drived around making an impact in these areas.
I'm blown away. I mean, folks, listen, tell me in the comments, first of all, we have Andrea. She's amazed about the 40%. You have, Katie from St. Augustine here. She's loving the book. But here's the point. And I mean this, the truth. I've never met someone at 36 who has such embodiment of his mission. I mean, this is just flowing from you. Like, I feel like you don't have any, are you reading a teleprompter?
I am not.
I mean, holy, wow. This is amazing. So I think what we're all saying is that we can really trust Don. Like, this isn't just a marketing strategy. I mean, you've laid out, here's our four things. Like, I want to dive into the deeper Don here, if I can do that. What motivates you? Where did this come from? How did God use you to create this incredible empire, and that you're not getting cocky. You're incredibly humble. How, tell us the backstory to all this.
Yeah, love to. So I guess start back at the beginning, per se, so I'm the oldest of five now, including my adopted sister, is much younger. Mm-hmm. And I was born to two parents who had me in their teenage years, while they were in high school. And I grew up, my mom ran a home daycare most of my childhood. And my father was a prison guard. We had very humble beginnings. I think the nice way to say it is we were, lower middle class, but we were families who, all of our material belongings came from, yard sales or given to us, struggled to make ends meet. And you'd expect, my parents were, teenagers, right? They were fighting to make things, make ends meet, especially with four of us, growing up. And I grew up in a town called Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, which is an hour north of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. But I, had parents who, were faith-based, who introduced me to right values, who made family important, who made strong work ethic important, who, basically instilled the message that if I want something if I'm willing to work for it, I can, kind of have and do anything I'd like. So for me, I had an entrepreneurial kind of bent from very early age, partly, because I didn't know nobody was giving me anything. If I wanted something, I had to get it. And, the story my dad actually told at my wedding 10 years ago was when he knew I was an entrepreneur was at in kindergarten, my dad started packing these Hostess donuts. You might remember those little black donuts in a little carton thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And he started packing those one day and I started selling them to my classmates for 50 cents a donut. And I started making $3 a pack of donuts, and that went on for a few weeks. And so the school found out and called my dad, and my supply chain ended. But that was kind of my first taste of entrepreneurial, and I did that type of stuff through elementary school. Was running a business, a real lawn care business in middle school, and working multiple jobs in high school. And I actually moved out of my parents' house in high school and started supporting myself through high school and college. And I had this, this kind of entrepreneurial desire and this confidence that, hey, if somebody else can do something and I'm willing to learn and work hard enough, I can kind of do anything. But always willing to learn willing to travel anywhere and invest any time to learn from somebody willing to teach. And learned early on from greats like, John Maxwell and Jim Collins, the fact that, as I grew in my leadership here and growing an organization, that the job of a leader is to serve, the importance of understanding that, and the importance of, as you've said a couple times, of humble confidence. And not only do I try to lead that by example, but I try to drive that in terms of the types of people we hire and attract, and have developed that as one of our core values for the organization. So, I have two young boys. My youngest turned 8 today, and my older is 9. And actually, my wife and I are working to adopt right now as well. And if I could figure out exactly how to instill the right motivation and drive in young children, I wouldn't be writing this book. I'd be writing a book on parenting.
There you go.
So I believe one of our core values is grit. And I believe grit is what separates that most highly successful people in the world from everybody else. And grit is passion plus perseverance towards long-term goals, the ability to stay focused towards a goal and to enjoy and be fulfilled from the pursuit of improvement, the incremental gain of getting better at your craft day in and day out. Mm-hmm. That's where real success comes from. So instilling grit in your children, and of course in our organizations, because grit can be grown and improved, is really important. So example with my children, to go into a quick parenting lesson, I don't praise, like everybody else. I think my kids are the smartest and the best athletes and everything else, right? We all think our kids are the greatest, but when my kids get, straight A's, I don't say to them, wow, you're so smart. I'm so proud of how smart you are. You say, wow, I'm really proud of how hard you've been studying, how much, how you've been working so hard at completing your homework, how great you've been doing, participating in class, praise the activities not the God-given abilities. You know, when they get, you know, when your kid gets, you know, three touchdowns in a football game, not praising, wow, you are just so athletic, you are so skilled, you're the best. Praising, man, I'm so proud of how hard you've been practicing. So proud of how much you've been working on, you know, on that, you know, whatever that running that route.
It's not the result. It's the process.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. So, so that's kind of, you know, so I went to, you know, went from high school, went to college, got almost a full ride to Drexel University, thought I was going to be a financial advisor, from middle school on, simply because a financial advisor came into a career day. And remember, I, you know, didn't have, come for much and showed a little chart that showed financial advisors made more money than doctors, lawyers, accountants, all the jobs your parents tell you to do. I said, that's what I'm going to do. I get to be my own boss. I'm really good at math. I'll be a financial advisor, and thought that's what I was going to do. Went to Drexel, worked at companies like McGladrey and Poland and BlackRock, and got some different finance experience, but knew I was going to be a financial advisor until a gentleman came into the restaurant I would wait tables on the weekends and kept asking me to come work for him, Finally, one day I sat down with him. His name's Nathan. And I said, all right, Nathan, tell me what it is that you do and what you want me to do. And he said he ran an ADT security dealership. And he told me, you know, asked me, Don, how much money do you make a week right now? I was 19 years old, at waiting tables and so forth. I said, about $1,000 a week. He said, I guarantee you, if you come to work for me, you'll make $2,000 a week. And I said, wow, that sounds really great. And for some reason, I believed him. And I said, all right. So I quit the restaurant. I came to work for Nathan basically, you know, immediately, and didn't know what the job really entailed. Just knew he told me I'd make $2,000 a week and I'd do really well at it. So the job ended up being is, you know, knocking on doors. So that's what I did all day, every day. I was still in college, but I was knocking on doors every free minute. And I knocked on a lot of doors. So I sold a lot of alarm systems, and my first paycheck was $5,280. And that turned out to be one of my worst paychecks. And so I was making, you know, $5,000 to $8,000 every 2 weeks as a college student, which is, you know, pretty good money. Later I found out nobody had ever made more than $1,000 a week for Nathan ever. But I think because he gave me this expectation that the normal compensation was $2,000, it was normal to sell X number of alarm systems. That's the expectation I set in my mind. Ooh, that I should be able to achieve and I should be able to do more. And so it took off really fast. I was making good money, and Nathan, as much as I was doing great working in his security company, he was also in real estate. And so he would write me my check out for $6,000. And then I would see that he had these $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 commission checks from his real estate brokerage business. And so after a little bit of time of working for him, he said, Don, you should get your real estate license. If you can sell alarm systems knocking on doors, you can sell real estate. And again, I was still in college. I said, I'll give it a try. And it took off really, really fast and started, you know, investing in real estate and growing a real estate brokerage and hiring great people and building an organization. But it was a lot of fun. And it's interesting how we, you know, kind of end up where we are, but it's been a great journey.
That is incredible.
Thank you.
Wow. So you almost didn't know any better.
Exactly.
ADT thing. Talk to us about, there's a lot of people right now watching, and this book is going to help them out a ton. In fact, I'm going to ask Michelle, who's our comment person, if you can pop in the link. You have this amazing landing page that talks all about the book. Tell us a little bit, for the people who aren't familiar with you, tell us a little bit about your company. You've referenced it a few times. What exactly do you do at DLP?
Yeah, so our core business is DLP Real Estate Capital. And we're a private real estate investment and financial services company. So in kind of layman's term, we invest in real estate, specifically workforce housing. We do so as an owner. We do so as investing equity with great real estate operators who implement the Elite Execution System.
Okay.
We do so lending money to real estate operators. And then we do property management and construction management and new development and real estate brokerage. And we have a title company and a number of affiliated businesses that, again, all revolve around investing in workforce housing that's affordable for the local workforce. We have 400 plus team members. We did a few hundred million of revenue this past year. We have $1.4 billion in AUM. And have grown by 60%+ every year. This will be our ninth straight year as one of the Inc. 5000 fastest growing companies in America. We were the fourth fastest growing company in America last year out of any companies that have made the Inc. 5000 five or more times ever. We've done it now nine straight years. And if you're not familiar, they measure your growth over a 3-year period of time. So if you choose any 3 years in our 15-year history, pick from 1 year to 3 years later, we've grown a minimum of 300% and a maximum of 500% every 3-year period. Doesn't matter which period you choose, doesn't matter which cycle we're in, doesn't matter how we've expanded geographically and new business lines. We've maintained this really consistent, most people's standards really fast growth pattern while growing our profit margins each year. And that comes down to having developed and implemented and refined the lead execution system, which is, it's not just, and with the book, and you know, you're referencing the DLPelite.com. Not only with the book do we provide the book and the journal, but also we provide you all the actual tangible tools that we've developed to use to actually implement the lead execution system. The book is not hypothetical. It's not philosophical. It's an actual blueprint. And then we give you all the actual tangible tools. We don't have to say, all right, that sounds really good. Now, how do I put this into action? You know, what, how do I create a document or a tool, or how do I actually do this? How do I put it into my business on Monday? We give actual all the tools to how to put it into action. And you kind of pick pieces at a time and go through and put it into your business. And that's how it came to be. You know, I originally want to give credit, and we give lots of credit in the book to those who've helped us, you know, develop the elite execution system, from, you know, Gino Wickman, who's the author of Traction and system called EOS, you know, as a friend of mine. And we implemented EOS into our business 10 years ago. And that was a good foundation. It was a starting point that helped us kind of build some structure and some organization. And we've taken ideas from the Vern Harnish of the world and the John Maxwell's and Sean Covey's and Jim Collins, and then built lots of actual tools that you need to actually put this into action in a fast paced environment. And it's been a lot of fun.
Well, I love my job because I get to meet such interesting people. And this is definitely one of the most interesting. You're so low key. All right. I study people. I watch body language the whole bit. What keeps you grounded? You know, what keeps you grounded? Because it could be very easy for a 36-year-old who has, you know, over $1 billion of assets or whatever fancy name you used. I don't even, you know, tell me that again. What was that called? AUM, or what did you say?
Yeah, assets under management. Yep.
There you go. See, I knew what I was talking about. I'm kidding. You know, I grew up as a pastor, and it's like money in my mind. So I'm going to play a little bit of hater on you here. Okay. Because we got all kinds of comments here that are actually no comments negative yet. So that's a good thing. But you know, money for me growing up was the furthest thing from, you know, I grew up as a pastor's kid, and I kind of grew up with this belief that, like, my parents didn't teach it to me, but money's bad. And I feel that there's a lot of unhealthy views of money. And that's why people can't make money, because subconsciously they think it's bad. And so they kind of think, if I get more of it, I get badder. Not that Michael Jackson would approve that, you know, I'm bad or whatever, but you know what I'm saying. So how do you get to the point where, you know what, money is a tool, money is being used? You just gave us four ways. I mean, four ways you're kicking back poverty and fear and scarcity. I mean, it's not government, folks. You got to hear this. Government is not crushing it. Don's businesses. So how do you have a okay or even healthy relationship with them?
Yeah, so it's a great question. I think a lot of people do struggle with that concept of success and money being, you know, contrary to faith and the Lord. And, you know, to answer the first part of your question, I mean, how I stay grounded is strongly through my faith and understanding I'm just a facilitator of the gifts that have been given to me, and none of what I have or do is mine. I'm being provided with, you know, this great opportunity and this blessing to use, you know, the abilities and opportunity and knowledge I've gained, to create as much of a positive impact that's pleasing, you know, pleasing to the Lord. And, you know, I look at it as, you mentioned it already there that, you know, there's so many positive effects, and, you know, there's a lot of good books out there, like, Bo Burlington, I think is his name, you know, Small Giants and little books that talk about, hey, you can build a great small business and stay small. And that's, you know, and some people look at that as a, and they think that they interpret, you know, certain scripture that's keeping your business small and simple, is somehow more pleasing, to the Lord. And the reality is you can't have a great, really small business, right? Because if it was great, it would grow. Mm-hmm. And so if you are running a great business and you're helping 10 people or 20 people or 50 people or 500 people, why wouldn't you want to help 5 times that many people, 10 times that number of people, 20 times that many people, 1,000 times that many people, right? If you're actually doing good things that are benefiting those who are doing business with you. And what, you know, what I've realized here in our world at DLP and our for-profit business, you know, we have 4 really big stakeholders that we serve. You know, one are our investors who invest in our private investment funds. We have, you know, 1,400 families, and I'm proud to call investors in our funds who were a significant part of their financial picture, and we're helping them to not only achieve, you know, the financial freedom in their lives, but helping them to be able to help their kids and grandkids and great grandchildren, help the ministries and nonprofits and organizations that are near and dear to them, because they have the consistency and confidence in the returns that they receive from us. And so that group of stakeholders, these investors, you know, we're growing. Last month we had 200 new families to invest with us, and it's growing, you know, every month, and we're helping more and more people, providing them with great cash flow and no volatility and so forth. The second big group that we serve are real estate operators, and you know, we're helping them by helping them implement the Elite Execution System and helping them with the capital and resources to scale their business. And then not only do I help them grow their business, but I help them employ more people and help those people's lives. I help them do more construction, which goes and then helps the workforce housing crisis, helps provide jobs for the contractors they hire, helps provide great housing for local families. Our third stakeholders are our residents who live in our properties. I'm proud to say we have 30,000+ people who live in our communities today, who live in safe and affordable places to live, that will remain safe and affordable, and help them to, we like to say, choose prosperity and help them live a full life and get access to information and knowledge and resources they're not typically receiving. And then the fourth group of stakeholders we have are our team members. And I'm proud to say we have over 400 full-time employees, team members, and that'll be much more by the end of this year and much more the year after that. And the amount of impact we can have on our team members, families, and their children and friends and relationships through not only what the income they earn from us, but the knowledge they gain and how that impacts them as a leader, in their church or in whatever areas of their lives that are important to them. So, you know, it's a great opportunity to create a positive impact. And we all know, we all think it, we all see it, that we all want to find more great companies who are, you know, purpose-driven and who are doing great things. And there's a major lack of that in today's society. I think many would agree. So when you're in a position to do that, it's a great opportunity, and it's humbling when you take a step back and take a look at the amount of people we can impact through a little bit of hard work, making some tough decisions, taking some risk, and continuing to be disciplined. It's amazing what you can do, and what you can do faster than most people think, because, you know, as big as we are to most people's standards today, you know, 5 years ago, 7 years ago, we were a 10th, a 20th of our size today. And just by putting the right structure, discipline, it can grow much, much faster than most people think.
I'll tell you what, the proof is in the pudding, as they say. And look, Patrick, who's one of your team members, and several of your team members today have said, this is done. This Don's the real thing. And I've heard that even Justin, who introduced us, Justin Donald, you know, we were honored to be his publisher and get him some great success. But there's just this group of people that the world wants to say business owners are all like this. Business owners are greedy, power hungry, you know, egotistical. Man, I'm not catching any of that vibe. I'm catching a guy who says, look, we're going to provide the journal and we're going to provide the book for our team members. We're going to give back to our community. We're going to raise up investor families to create generations of wealth. I'm truly inspired today. I mean, I when I met you, I was impressed, but you're a quiet dude, but you got this quiet strength, you know? And here's the magic question. Do you have this on Audible yet?
So I have and I, you know, I read a lot. So in our organization, so we give everybody, the journal we talked about, we give everybody an Audible account. We let all of our employees download unlimited books. We buy them Fitbits. We buy them Beachbody on Demand, a lot of things to help them focus on living fully and so forth. And so I'm a huge Audible fan. I listen to my books on Audible.
Me too.
So I've always believed that authors who record their audio versions themselves, it always gives you an even better connection to the book and the author and the thinking. So I did record my book. I did a few months ago, and just waiting on Audible and being told any day, it'll be officially live on Audible. So yes. So that'll be coming out hopefully in the next week or so. We'll be live on Audible for sure.
That's so good. Kyle's already jumping in. It'll be available very soon. So you got your whole team's watching out for you. So folks, we're going to give away the journal. And I want you to type in if you found value today. You know, just put. We're not going anywhere yet, by the way. But just say thanks, Don. Because I mean, I'm not gonna go back to my business the same way. I mean, I'm impressed. So we're gonna be giving away this incredible journal. If people want it, here's what I want you to do: type in the word "shared" after you shared it. So I want you to share it on your Facebook, on your YouTube, wherever you're watching it from. And then I want you to tag someone who would benefit. This could be a business owner who maybe hasn't had the vision yet. I mean, gee, you get your whole team Audible accounts and Fitbits, and man, that shows that you believe in personal growth. I mean, that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that the audio matches the video. You know what I'm saying? The audio of DLP matches what they do.
So that, yeah, point, Kelly, you know, Patrick, who you mentioned before, he's our chief experience officer, and mm-hmm. you know, his job is customer experience and employee experience, you know, CX and EX. And yeah. And what I always say is when your culture matches your brand, right? When you're who you are to your employees matches who you are to your customers, you know, makes everything, you know, much, much easier when there's no different face you need to put on. You know, we hold big events. We just did one 2 weeks ago. We invited our top real estate operators and our top investors who invest in our funds that lend money to these investors, invest equity, right? We invite them to the same group and the same event, and we let them hang out together, right? And when you can have that transparency, I'm not telling a different message to our people who borrow from us to those who invest the money with us, right? It's the same message in between. And that's what's powerful about the book concept, is that we're not teaching you saying, hey, this is what we think would be good for your business. This is what we think you should do. This is what we think works. We're saying, this is what we actually do, what we're doing right now. And everything that we teach and we show is exactly what we do. There's nothing that's not exactly what we do. And as we continue and we develop and tweak and add and so forth, we provide access to a lot of the trainings and resources that we provide to those who go down this path of implementing lead execution system is the exact training and tools that we're actually using. We're giving in our businesses, you know, we're just giving them to you and giving you access to see exactly what we do every single day. So, we find it makes our lives a lot easier when there's no facade. We're far from perfect. We're far from doing everything right. But we're doing enough of it right, and when we're doing something wrong, we're quickly identifying it and willing to change and improve you know, to get great results. And that's the great thing. You don't have to do everything. You start reading the book and sort of, wow, there's so many things I want to implement. You don't have to do it all tomorrow. You start going down the path of being cognizant to what you need to do and taking a piece of it at a time, putting it in place in your business. It can be transformative very, very quickly.
This is fantastic. Listen, I've been going totally off notes the whole time. So now I'm going to go to the notes and make sure I didn't miss anything. This has been so riveting. We talked about that. Great. Did you always plan to go into real estate investing? What was the first deal? You want to tell us about the first deal you ever had?
Yeah, I'd love to. So no, cool. Definitely, as I mentioned before, I thought I was going to be a financial advisor, and that's the path that I was going down. I was, you know, literally shadowing financial advisors in eighth and ninth grade through school. I was determined that's what I was going to do. So stumbled into real estate through this gentleman, Nathan Robinson, who helped me get my real estate license. And I was still in college, basically didn't sleep for a couple weeks, got my real estate license online. And from the very first day I entered real estate, my marketing message was, your home sold guaranteed or I'll buy it. And the month I got my real estate license was October 2006, which happened to be the peak of the real estate market that month in Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania. So meaning homes started slowing down. They weren't selling as fast. Prices kind of flattened and started going down. So it was a great point to have this guarantee, right? That I guarantee to sell your home when the market's slowing down. So it led to a lot of motivated home sellers contacting me and in some cases, us stepping in and just buying their home. And I also started working with a lot of real estate investors, helping them identify opportunities. So I was operating as a broker, bringing them opportunities of somebody's motivated needs to sell quick to an investor. And so my first deal happened is I was working with an investor. His name was Jack, and I helped him identify this home from a motivated seller who wanted to sell. The lady was about 80 years old. Her name was Eleanor. And he was going to buy her home from her. Went under contract, $71,000. I go to the closing table. Eleanor is sitting across from me at the closing table. I'm there representing Jack. I'm waiting for Jack to get there. Closing's at 2 o'clock or something along those lines. 2:10, Jack's still not there. 2:15, Jack's still not there. Call him, doesn't pick up. Another 20 minutes go by. I'm making small talk with Eleanor, really hoping Jack gets there. I finally get a hold of him. He finally picks up his call and says, sorry, Don, I couldn't get my loan. I'm not buying the house. Click, hung up on me. So I break the news to, 82-year-old Eleanor that, Jack can't buy her home. And, she breaks into tears, telling me that she will get kicked out of the assisted living facility she's in if she doesn't have this money today. And she was, beside herself, heartbroken. She reminded me of my grandmother, super sweet lady. And literally, this is no exaggeration. I'm sitting at a real estate office, and funny enough, that real estate office now is directly next door to our headquarters. But I'm sitting at this real estate office, and across the street, I can see it through the windows, is PNC Bank, which happened to be my bank at the time. And so no exaggeration, I said, Eleanor, give me a minute here. I got up, I ran across the street, went into PNC Bank, and I withdrew most of the money I had at that point, which was $71,000. I was, 20 years old and in my first, few months of real estate. And I came back and I said, I'll buy your house. And so I bought the home. I hired a guy, I'd met who flipped a few homes as a contractor, hired him to renovate it. And I turned around and renovated that home and flipped it. And that was my first home flip. And then that year I did that a few times. The next year I did it 20 times. I was 50, then I was 100. And then we started building a portfolio of single family and multifamily and so forth. But that's how kind of the first deal came to be, and many of our stories over the years have been in those types of situations, just helping solve a problem for somebody, stepping in and making the transaction possible.
That is mind blowing. Oh my! It's almost like looking back, because you're a person of faith, and I am too. It's almost like God put you in a situation where He said, "Here, here's a softball pitch." Now, for 99 out of 100 people, they'd say, absolutely not. I mean, I'm thinking of my own life, man, that's risky. How many times in your life, your career, your family life, your marriage, how many times have you bet on yourself? And is that a key principle of the book? Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, setting big goals and making kind of big decisions, we all have, there's only a small number decisions we ever make in our lives that really become, you know, the big ones that make all the difference. You know, you're one big decision away from a very different life. And you know, we all have those stories in our personal life, right? If you wouldn't have done one little thing, wouldn't have been different. You wouldn't have met your wife, right? Or, something would have drastically changed the trajectory of your life. And as much as most of us can think back to some of those examples that have happened in our lives, you think about kind of, you said, how many times have we been presented with those opportunities, or will we again be presented with these big opportunities that we even have this, you know, this point to say, hey, I'm going to go chase, we like to say, this God-sized goal, or no, I don't, I'm afraid of change. You know, I always say when we think about change in our organization, which we do lots of change all the time, we always say, you know, people aren't afraid of change. They're afraid of not being prepared for change. And so people are always hesitant to do something new, to get outside of their comfort zone. It doesn't take a lot of big decisions. It doesn't take a lot of big bets. It takes a few that you're willing to go all in on, that can make, you know, make all the difference. And that's a big part of kind of the foundation of the Elite Execution System is developing a tool we call the Compass.
Mm.
Compass is laying out a clear roadmap to your business. And it starts with, you know, identifying why you're in business, and what you're going to accomplish. So laying out a clear purpose and values to your organization, it's really where it starts. Laying out a clear mission and a big, hairy, audacious goal, really identifying what you do well and what you don't do well, identifying what your best opportunities are, identifying who your best people are, and then building out a plan to execute on your mission, execute on, drive you towards why you're in business. And so, you know, going down that path is one of those big decisions of saying, hi, I'm going to get serious about growing and running a great business, whether that means you're already running your own business or been contemplating making that decision, and then investing the immense time and energy and effort to really figure out why you are in business and what you are going to do and accomplish, and how you're going to take advantage of the, you know, God-given gifts and abilities and opportunities that we are all in. And if you're listening to this, you know, podcast, if you're from the, you know, from the United States or North America, as most of us probably are, you know, we're all in an amazing time in society, an amazing place with a tremendous, you know, opportunity. We are in the land of opportunity. I'm living proof of that. I know many others who didn't come from any advantage, who we all have American Idol stories, I like to say. I have one. I know you have one as well, Carrie. We all have an American Idol story, right? We all have trials and tribulations and challenges and excuses and reasons why we're not doing what we thought what we are capable of doing, what we think our best self could do, and what's held us back, and why we're, you know, dissatisfied or unhappy, why we may be one of those 40% of people who are struggling with some sort of mental illness or depression or lack of confidence or some sort of challenge, because we haven't been willing to, you know, to step up and chase a God-sized goal and invest the time, energy, and effort to do it. And I think those who do more easily or have gone down the path of entrepreneurship, you know, sometimes end up starting entrepreneurship thinking it's this path to freedom and no responsibilities and do whatever you want whenever you want, and that's like the ultimate dream, when the reality is that you find when you go down the path of really scaling a business is that discipline is actually what sets you free, and putting structure and organization and people and process in place, that's what frees you up to focus on big opportunities, what frees you up mentally. That's what gives you the freedom to think and dream and chase big goals, is putting discipline and structure around, you know, or your day-to-day world, and using things like an elite journal, or putting structure and organization around your company. And some of the most talented people I know are great, you know, are great time tellers, as Jim Collins likes to say. And you know, so a lot of people who get their business going, you know, are a great time teller. And a lot of us, if we're honest, we like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we like that we're the only person who can tell time, right? Every problem, every issue, every opportunity in the company has to come back to you, because you're the all wonderful Wizard of Oz, who the only person who can solve every issue. And we like that feeling of importance. When a great leaders realize that the real greatness as a leader and as a you know, business owner is the ability to be a clock builder and to develop other people who can tell time, and not everything needs to revolve around you. And when you can get to the point that you can be a clock builder and you can build other people capable of telling times and solving issues, and you're not needed to be involved in every single issue, that can be challenging at points, but it's a great feeling of freedom that then allows you to chase that next, you know, big goal and continue to raise the bar of what's possible. But it's a hard thing many struggle with because of the feeling of importance and comfort we get in knowing everything about what we do every day. And being, you know, being the quote unquote expert.
I'll tell you what, folks, this was fantastic. Michelle, pick a winner. So pick a winner that we're going to send the journal to, as well as the book. We'll send the entire package. And I believe, Don, that you're a man. You've probably been told this your whole life. You have wisdom beyond your years. Have you been told that?
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yes.
I mean, I recognize that. And that, you know, and in our favorite book, I mean, that's a legit thing where if people can recognize that in you, that means you've spent time with God, you know. And so great job investing in yourself, growing yourself. I've been mentored today. I've learned a ton. And this is just the beginning. So folks, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to challenge you to go get the book right now. I mean, the proof is his business. You know, there's a lot of theorists out there who say, oh yeah, you know, check out my system. And then you're like, are you doing it? No, I've never done it. But, oh, Andrea, look at you. Andrea is the winner. So Andrea.
Congrats.
Yeah, Andrea's the winner. And just so we all know what Andrea looks like, there she is. And big congrats. But this was just, oh yeah, she's excited. So if you didn't win, don't worry. You can win by investing. And seriously, folks, he said that the profits go back to help all kinds of people. So it's like everybody wins, you know. Don wins because he gets his dream out. You win because you grow, and the people who receive the charity work win. So it is a true win-win. Don, I'll give you the last word. Anything that you'd like to say today?
Well, I really, really appreciate the time from you, Kerry, as well as everybody who's listened in here. And I really, you know, challenge you. You know, of course, the key to this book and most books and most, whether you go to listen to a podcast, read a book, go to an event, is about implementation. And I encourage if you take the time to read or listen to the book when the Audible version here comes out, and you just implement, you know, one of a number of, you know, key opportunities to improve yourself or improve your business, you will gain certainly a reward many times greater than the cost of the book, and challenge you to really build a great organization. To understand that wherever you're at today, if you're flat and stagnant, and your business isn't growing, probably you're likely flat and stagnant and not personally growing. And you can't be a great company if you're not growing. It's just, I believe, to be the reality, because more people would be in demand of your product and service if you're really building a great organization. So I challenge you to make a bigger impact on the world, make a bigger impact on what's important to you, make a bigger impact in your family, in your faith. And I think we all say it, we all believe it, but we all want to leave a legacy. But are you willing to invest in building something that truly will, last, you know, beyond, you and beyond your time? Because we all have a very short amount of time here on this earth. So I challenge you to live and leave a legacy and make an impact on whatever's critical and important in your world, today. So thank you, for your time and attention, and, hopefully get the opportunity, to help many of you here in the days, weeks, and years ahead.
Thrilled, man. And we're very excited to help you with your next book. And congrats on it already being an Amazon bestseller. And what a great team. So thank you, Don. Have a tremendous day, okay?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Buddy, take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Igniting Souls podcast. As a subscriber, we challenge you to be more than just a passive listener. Show up, build up, and become a member of the tribe. Visit us on the web at carrieoberbrenner.com. Remember, the most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire.